No, Joe, we ought to ask if there's any questions so we can totally ignore it later.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah.
But first, we should introduce ourselves. So my name is Joe Hines. What's your name? Carol, you're going to have to answer the question for him.
Does anybody know my name? See, nobody knows me.
Okay, good. And we got some jokes because we always got to start with jokes. I do jokes standing up better. All right, so these are jokes fresh off of the ink. And if, as usual, if you get the jokes right, Dave will do a backflip off the stage. Yeah, is that all right? I didn't say which Dave. Yeah. All right, so if you know the joke, the answer to the joke, just yell it out. You don't have to raise your hand, even though we're in school. All right, so why are frogs so happy? Why are frogs so happy? They haven't croaked yet. It's really good. I didn't think about that one. That's not the right answer. So, all right. They eat whatever bugs them. Yes. These aren't good jokes. They're just jokes.
I like his better.
I know. Actually, his answer is better than what I thought. Okay, so you guys didn't get that. Come on now. Pay attention. All right. So this is actually designed to wake up your brain. So, and mine too. So how do you become a friend of a squirrel? Okay, so very well. Who got that one? Very well done. See, it's the,
where you're not handing anything out?
No, I don't want to insult them with gifts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, good. So that's my jokes. That's all you're getting. I have more, but I don't want to give them. So those are the jokes we have, and we have some questions as well. And if you have a question while we're going through, really, the way this is designed tonight is, you folks are such good partners with us. We feel like this is so weird having this between Hal and I. It's almost like you're family, and it's because you guys are family with us. So if you have a question or a thought, please just raise your hand, and we'll kind of bring that into it. So we've got some ones that have been circulated to us already, but I just want to make it clear that, you know, we're doing this for about 30 minutes or so. And hopefully we'll kind of expand your knowledge of us. And it all goes back to this idea, that we are part of the kingdom with you. And you folks are the eyes and ears for what we do. All of the children who come into our care come from folks just like you who are referring them to us. So we could partner with their families. That's very much what we do. And plus, we believe, that together we could accomplish a lot more than can any one of us individually. So that's the whole point of getting together and doing this. And we try to do this often with the people who have a care and concern for kids, really. In this church, the school, you folks obviously have a high priority of raising up the next generation of children to be the next leaders of the church. So we're thankful for that. So I don't know, do we want to take one of their questions they sent in to us?
Sure. Yeah, let's why don't we take the success one first.
Okay, success. So one of the questions that was asked by somebody in the church here is, describe some success stories, or what does a success story look like? And that's probably a part of the answer. You know, what does success look like, Hal?
I think this church loves to read. So somebody turn to Jeremiah 6:16 and read that, please.
Unless you've already memorized it. I mean, Dave did. You've got it memorized, don't you? Okay. It's a good one to have memorized.
We love to use this, and we'll talk a little bit about it more, but we love to do, when we first interview kids, this is one of the verses we use a lot.
And of course, Jeremiah 6:16, it's always dangerous to take one little verse out of a book of the Bible. So just so we're all clear, Jeremiah, a prophet, and he's speaking to Israel, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, who were in full flight from God, and they had been making a series of decisions that would ultimately lead to their exile, and was leading to their exile. And so God speaks to Jeremiah for the people. And this is one of those timeless verses. So who's got it? Could read it out loud.
Go ahead, Dave.
Thus says the Lord, stand by the way, and seek, ask, and ask. Where the good way is, walk in. You will find the rest for your soul. They said,
No, I think, thank you so much, Dave. And I think the NIV, do you have the NIV?
Yeah, like, so, and what you're using, the New King James? New American Standard. So when Dave read "Stand by the Ways," another rendering of the Hebrew could also be understood as "Stand at the crossroads." Stand by the ways. Stand at the crossroads. So stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, which could also be translated "eternal paths." Ask for the eternal paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said we will not walk in it. So that's kind of God's accusing of Israel. So before that, though, stand at the crossroads. So Hal, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, our kids come with so many, so much baggage, and they come with multiple reasons why they come to us. And matter of fact, a lot of them have never ever set foot into an assembly where Jesus Christ is taught. And matter of fact, I think what was one night you mentioned about, we was talking about that. I think Wednesday night, wasn't it, Dave? And, you know, so many of our kids have never even been know who Jesus Christ is. So when they come to us, they're at a crossroads. They can either choose one way or continue going the other. And it's so important that at the children's home, we understand that, and that we help them with, get this, with you guys' help, through the school, through the church, and everything here, that they are open up to how God can help them through Jesus Christ. I think it's really important. We have a lot of other areas, but that is so important that they understand. They're at a crossroad. They can continue to go down where they're going, and it's not working out too good, but they can also listen and hear and ask the ancient ones.
Yeah.
And find out what direction they should go. And that includes all of us here. That includes all of us.
So a success story is a child and their family, because we have a very high emphasis on helping the families kind of embrace this new normal. So a success story would be a child who starts beginning to choose a different path when confronted with a crossroads. And a crossroads could be for adults when someone cuts you off in traffic. A crossroads for a child could be an opportunity to cheat at school, an opportunity to get even with somebody. A crossroads for a teenager could be, to dress inappropriately or start doing or looking at inappropriate images on the internet. Or there's a lot of, on some level, life is a series of crossroads. And the decision we make at this crossroad affects the next set of crossroads, because the next set of crossroads will reflect the previous decision. And what we talk about with these children when they come to meet with us to see if they'll fit into our program is we get to tell them that, you know, most people don't end up where they're at because they saw in the future what it was going to lead to. It's a series of decisions, and eventually the children kind of lose themselves in it. So success in our eyes is when a child begins to see themselves as God sees them.
I think, Joe, Galatians 6:1.
Right.
It says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritually restored, such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourselves, so that you too will not be tempted." And I think at the children's home, we try to instill that those thoughts. As we are talking success and they putting their past behind them, the person that asked wanted an example of maybe a couple of kids who have been successful. And to me, what our success is not necessarily mean success in God's eyes. We may think, wow, that kid's not very successful. But in God, wow, that's fabulous. And I was thinking about that this afternoon. And Rick Reeser, everybody knows Rick. Yeah. And, this kid came to children's home. He came to school here. A lot of you know who he was really just struggling. He He did not know who Christ was. He did not know any of that. And I can tell you today, he has been successfully married for I don't know how many years now. Just fabulous wife. They go to church. And to me, that's success. He has accepted Christ as his Savior. And what more can we ask? Another boy who was at the children's home recently, today he plays in a worship band at his church. That's success, people. That is what I look at success as. You know, if they learn who God is, and then God can take that, what we plant the seed, and grow, it is so, so exciting to me to see those kids grow in Christ after they leave, because we just had a little bit. We planted that little seed, and God kept watering it and watering it and watering it through other people, and it's just so exciting.
And, of course, we know this takes time. Obviously, over the years, Hal and the other folks in the children's home have visited some of the kids who have been in our care. They visited them at diners. They visited them at jail. They visited them in rehabs. They visited them while they were getting married, while they were starting businesses and closing businesses. I mean, life's a journey. And everybody starts off in one place, but it takes time. Now, a lot of people are want to know how our outcome is. What's your outcome, they say? Well, the outcome for us is a life lived towards, with, and involving God. So it takes time. There's a phrase that was coined several years ago, way back at the turn of the 19th century, and it was a coined phrase, wounded healers. And what it is, it just describes a person who has been through a particular experience that may not be the best experience, but then they use that experience once they're on the other side of it to help somebody else go through that same experience. You know, we have this motto, you've heard it before, at the Children's Home, we don't raise victims, we raise overcomers. And one of the ways that we gauge a child's ability or their overcoming of a thing is when they begin to use their experiences to help other people. And that's one of the greatest things we see as a success. We see that a lot with the adult children of the Woodburn Christian Children's Home. We've been around since 1972, so obviously we got kids in their 40s and 50s that were in our program back in the 70s.
Everybody give Rick applause.
Yeah. So we have kids from the 70s and 80s that still stay in contact with our program. One of the kids that comes to mind, he was in our program at the 1998, 1999, 2000 time frame, a kid named Bob, and now he's very involved in our program. He loves to come out and interact with the children to help them understand why they're doing the things they're doing, because it leads to these final results. And at the end of the day, I never spent personally any time at a children's home, only because my mother didn't know they existed, or she would have sent me to one. So on some level, I can't pretend like I know what these kids are going through. But a person who has walked in their footsteps can. And so we very much encourage the kids who have come through our program to come back into our program, to come out and do whatever. Just, you know, spend time with them at the picnics, get involved in our fundraisers, whatever it is. And they do quite a bit. And it's interesting when they do. It happened 2-3 years ago. He was in his late 40s, came out to one of our Christmas open houses, and he spent the entire time talking to the kids in both houses because he wanted to help them understand where they were at in comparison to where he was at. And that's a huge, as far as I'm concerned, a success, is becoming a wounded healer. God loves using people to help people. And so that's a success story. Yep.
So any questions? Anybody got any questions? Or we'll just keep talking, you know? No questions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Recently, we had a boy leave, and the family, and I believe it's because of the boy changed his whole attitude. He went home and he changed basically the whole family structure, attitude of the family. And I talked to the dad, I don't know, it was before Christmas sometime, maybe before Thanksgiving. And he said, I want to thank you so much because this boy has turned out the way we was hoping he would. And this dad never was, when he first brought this boy to the children's home, he never opened up like that. It was always like he wanted to stay, keep an arm's distance away. He did not want to let people know his feelings or his hurt or where he was at that time. And now he's so grateful. And I believe this man has turned a corner because his son has influenced. And I mean, and this boy is still in high school. So yes, they can make a difference.
And we do definitely, all the interaction we have with families, it's all based on this idea that the family is an emotional system. And they interact in that way, just like a church is an emotional system. And so very much so, each family member has an influence on the others, not just adults down, but children up. So yeah, that's a good question. Any other questions? What about over here? Any questions over here? Snide comments for him? Rude accusations? Anything?
Somebody had a question earlier, and he's afraid to ask it now because you wanted to know how long you was going to keep your hair.
I don't know. Yes, yes, yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. I don't know.
He wants to be just like me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Only in my nightmares.
So, any questions over here? You got a question? Oh, come on. You got to have a question. Nobody?
All right. So another question that came in was, and this is a pretty standard question we get a lot of times, is what are the different ways individuals and families can get involved? And one of the stories, I'm actually working on a sermon right now, writing a sermon based out of Luke chapter 5. And this is it kind of describes one of the ways that people can get involved. And it's kind of a generic description, but it really kind of gets to the heart of what we do. And actually, the idea for this sermon came from one of the adult children of the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, because we interact with them a lot, we talk with them a lot. And he called me and said, hey, Joe, I got a great idea for one of your sermons. And it came from Luke chapter 5. And I'm just going to read the first part of the story, beginning in verse 17, and you'll pick up on the story pretty quickly. It's a pretty common story. Luke chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible reads, one day as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and the teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, the story goes on to a really deep conversation about why Jesus came. Now, we're not going to get into that part of it. Just the first half of the story, these friends carried the paralytic to Jesus through the roof. So Bob, one of these guys who is an adult child in the children's home, when he called me, he said, Joe, I have a great sermon for you. And the title is Stretcher Bearers. And he said, that's what you folks, specifically the house parents, his house parents were David and Kendra. He said, my house mom and dad, they were stretcher bearers. They carried me and laid me in front of Christ. And then he said, and that's what the churches do for the Woodburn Christian Children's Home. You folks are stretcher bearers for us, carrying us to the feet of Christ. Because we aren't superpower hero people. We're just Christians, Christians only. And we need people to be praying for us and to kind of, so to speak, carry us to the feet of Christ. So he was so excited about this. He called me like 10 o'clock at night, which I'm not sure why they don't call during the day, but it's always him and another guy always call at 10 o'clock at night. Like, you do realize that the phones work during the day, but he was so excited about this stretcher bearer. And I thought to myself, it's just a great way to describe how people can get involved. Carrying us to Christ in prayer. Of course, making your friends, your coworkers, your family, your extended family, aware that we exist. It happened to me right before Christmas. We went to a church, and one of the people at the church said, if I'd have only thought of you, the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, a couple months ago, I had a perfect candidate for your program, but now he's a ward of the state. And so that's a heartbreaker for us to hear. We've heard that many times over the years. We've got built-in forgetters. So one of the greatest ways people can help us on a kind of an overarching way is to be reminded of us so that you can use us as a way of helping somebody. And then certainly carry us to the cross in prayer. You can't unread some of the court documents. You can't unhear some of the stories. And so the reality is we need to be built up. The house parents especially, I was going to say Dave and Kendra, but they're not over here. Dave and Kendra, wherever they are, and Daryl and Miranda, they need prayer constantly. And so that would be our greatest way to get involved. And you have some other ideas, I'm sure.
Yes. Did everybody get one of these?
We put a $100 bill in one. Anybody get it?
Anybody find it yet? Oh, too bad. this came off the press in November?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's still pretty warm. And it's ways to help. Please look at it. I do like the 1 Peter 4:10 there on the front page. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Okay, how can you help? 1 Peter just told you. However, use your gifts for the children's home. We have a list, but that's not comprehensive. And so you can look through there. Maybe somebody has something. I will give Gary a plug here. We have a freezer cooler coming. He just told me it's in the shop. We do are in need of an electrical engineer. A structural engineer. If somebody knows a structural engineer, the state and county are requiring us before we can set it. We got to have an engineer brought up and sign his name off on it. Gary's basically already got all the information. They just got to look at it, rewrite it, and send it into the county. So if anybody knows that, how can you help? That's ways to help. We're going to need, people to probably help hook it up to, and everything. It's going to be, I can't imagine. I don't know. I'm not, I don't know a whole lot about it. But it is, 12 by 38, right, Gary? 12 feet by 38. And we've been really blessed by that. So be looking for that to be coming up soon. Other ways is you can talk to me. I'm not going to go into it. You might be surprised how we can use your gift at the children's home. And just because you're not 50 or anymore, we have things that even the elderly could do out there. Believe it or not, we have things where you can sit down and work. And so it's really important that you understand that. And as Joe mentioned, the biggest thing, we need to be covered under the umbrella of prayer constantly. Without God, we would not be around since 1972. We've been doing something right, and I believe that's because we've kept God as the center of the children's home.
Yeah, and it's interesting in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, where it says each one should use whatever gift he has received. That word gift that we translate in the Greek could be under it was charis, which is grace. So whatever grace you have received, and that's what it comes down to. Our gifts. We don't earn them. Like we tell a lot of people, especially when we work with the kids, an ability is something you could develop. You could learn how to play the guitar. You could learn how to public speak. You could learn construction. Those are abilities. Gifts are simply received from God and then uncovered. The gift of hospitality, the gift of generosity, the gift of faith, the gift of stewardship, whatever the gift may be. And so the way Peter writes it here is each one should use whatever gift he has received. And so for us, it's an expression of God's tapping you on the shoulder that you have this gift to use. And in a lot of cases, like how when he interacts with people to see where they'll plug in at, they uncover the gift together. It's part of the experience. Now, we have employment opportunities at the Woodburn Christian Children's. We want to hire a part-time maintenance person. We have one part-time maintenance person. We want two. It's 3 to 5 hours a week. Light maintenance, some preventative maintenance opportunities. And we want to have two because, obviously, the other person that's doing it, he works full-time and he can't come on a fairly regular basis. I mean, he comes when he's able to. So we want to have two people who are able to come when they're available to. So we have a part-time position available for light maintenance. We also want to hire more associate house parents. And these are folks that come in from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. during the school week, Monday through Thursday. And they're associate house parents in that they help the house parents accomplish what needs to get accomplished after school. Now, we all know, for anybody who's had kids, the after-school routine can be pretty intense, especially when you have 7 kids in the house. It's okay with 1 kid, 2 kids, 5 kids, but 7 kids in the house. And so we have an extra responsibility to come alongside the house parents. And you would be surprised what you're doing. This could be meal preparation. It could be helping with homework. It could be helping a kid with chores. It could be taking a kid out to the basketball court who's had a rough social experience during the day. It's incredibly important for us to have male and female associate house parents. We have 2. Right now, we'd like to have 4. And we're also looking to hire a full-time house parent couple. And I know there's somebody in this room who's thinking, I wonder what that would be like. You know, it's great to investigate that. Because we're expanding. We're building a third house. And also we're building some other things. But we want to be very intentional with how we care for the kids. And we want to build a house that's for long-term kids who are with us for a long period of time. And then the other houses will be for the short-term kids. And then the long-term kids can have a different set of ways of kind of navigating their day and their different experiences. And so we need a third house parent couple like yesterday. So you may say, I'll try that out. And one of the ways to try it out is with guest house parenting, coming in for 4 hours, 8 hours, or 12 hours at a time and giving our full-time house parents the day off, so to speak. Gary and Kim do that now. My daughter Victoria and her husband, Zach, do that. And they're in their mid-20s, and they're not. And so we have... We're across the board with this. And it's important for us to have across the board because our kids need to know what a young married couple, how they interact. Victoria and Zach, they do it 3 or 4 times a year. It isn't like a every week thing. And then they also need to know what a 30-something couple does in their marriage and a 40-something couple. And the first time you come, maybe you don't bring the kids. Yeah, the first time you come, maybe you don't bring the kids, but the second time you do because... our kids don't bite, at least in a way that they leave marks. And so we want the kids to come because we want to model a Christian family. This is what we do at the Woodburn Christian. Everything we do happens through what we call a Christian family living experience. We don't have it all together. We have bumps and bruises. We say stupid things and do stupid things. We're a typical Christian family. But we are in it together for the long haul. And we have chosen to stand still in each other's lives. And so guest house parenting, it's fantastic. You get to be the cool aunt or uncle or grandparent or cousin that comes in and hangs out with the kids for 4, 8, or 10 hours, 12 hours at a time. And it's just a tremendous experience. People don't know what they're missing by not getting involved. And maybe if you do that, God may tap you on the shoulder and say, you know what, this is what I got you earmarked for. I want you to be a house parent. And then you will experience faith flushed out in ways you never dreamed possible. I can guarantee you, Daryl and Miranda did not experience their relationship with God to be what it is based on what they've been through. It breaks you down to the very core of who you are and allows you to trust in God in ways you never dreamed possible. It really does push you out of the comfort zone. Hal and Carol did it for 18 years. The faith that brought them to the children's home was absolutely not the faith that kept them there. Their faith had to grow to stay. And that's the whole point of service, is to stretch ourselves out of our comfort zones and to do things that we never dreamed we could do, but find out we can do with God's power.
So, the if somebody's out there thinking, wow, you know, maybe, but I don't know, well, call. Because I'll tell you, somebody asked me one time, how could you ever give up everything? Carol and I, quick testimony, Carol and I sold everything to come to Children's. We gave up really, really good jobs to come to the Children's. We weren't wealthy, but we were okay. We are more rich today than we ever were back then. Because God continues to bless us. You know, God says, test me. I don't believe he's just talking about money there. I believe he's saying, test me in any way you want. And I'll prove to you that I will continue to bless. We don't have all the fancy stuff. We don't need all the fancy stuff. But we are very rich today because of the people we have got to know at WCCA. That includes staff, congregations, but more important, we're rich because of the kids that we got to meet and the kids that we've got to help. God has blessed us because we said, okay, God, you want to open the door for us, we'll jump through it because we trust you. And that's all he asked us for, is a trusting. And so if somebody's out there that would like to do anything that Joe just said, call. My number's there. Joe's number's on there. And if you really want to get to know what it's like, ask Carol. And she'll tell you. But I'll tell you, it is such a rewarding and an emotional feeling. We came at 40 years old, and God knew that that was the right time. Any time before that, I would have never... I'd probably killed the kids. Okay? But he has continued to bless me and give me wisdom to be able to know how to reach out to these kids and touch their lives in ways that only God can show. And so, guys, is it emotional? Yes, but it's so rewarding, and it'll open avenues that you never thought, and a relationship with God you never thought you could have.
And I think that's the neat part about it. Whether it's serving at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home or serving through the church ministries, whether in the church or the ministries outside the church, this is what God calls us to do. He calls us into the kingdom so that we can use whatever gift we have received for the betterment of the kingdom. And I think that's one of the greatest things, especially with the Harlan Church of Christ. And, you know, you can feel the intensity of the action through the church here. Not every church I visit, I go to 45 churches and 45 Sundays. Not every church has got that sense of urgency in what they're doing. And very much, and this, I'm not saying that because I'm standing in front of you, it's just true. It's a reflection of the commitment of each person, of the leadership, and the keeping this, the word central to what we do. Paul, the Apostle Paul, I came to Christ at 33 years old. And I didn't come to Christ on a winning streak. It seemed to be the only thing left. So I identify with Paul, not that I was raised in the church because I wasn't, but I identify with Paul because he had that stark experience. Now, I didn't see the risen Christ. I don't want to pretend like I did. But I know very clearly what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I've got a pretty good delineation of where I've been and where I'm at. And I love the way Paul describes the people who have impacted him in Romans chapter 16. Because how he describes some of these people is how the people who come and serve at the children's home are to the kids who are in our care. Like Paul, I love what he says here in Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Paul says, it's just his laundry list of people he wants the original readers to greet on his behalf. So he makes this whole list of people he wants them to say hello for him. And so he says in verse 13, greet Rufus, which is kind of a funny name.
I love that name.
Well, and I'm not Greek. I'm not from the first century, so I have no clue how to say it, but that's how I think it should be said. So greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me. Doesn't mention who she is. But this mother of Rufus was a mother to Paul. And how is she a mother to Paul? I don't know. If you study some of his writings, you may discover what it means to be a mother in the idea of the Apostle Paul. But it was such an impact on him that he thought of her to write it in this book that's survived the test of time. And he goes on to describe some of these others, like Tryphena and Tryphosa. You know, it's just almost like a 70s band or something, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Those women who worked hard in the Lord. You know, he witnessed their commitment by their actions. And then he goes on to describe Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And then he describes another one here in the beginning part, a Greek Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. He just goes through the list, and a lot of the kids who have been in our care have this list. Maybe it was one of the dorm dads at the church camp they attended. And they could listen to me yap all day long, but I didn't set the hook in their hearts. Some dorm dad did. Or some Sunday school teacher hooked their heart, and they'll always remember her face. Or maybe it was, I don't know, someone who was putting the chairs away like you guys do in 3.8 minutes. And you have that conversation. There's an initiative that came out about 10 or 12 years ago called the Sticky Faith Initiative. And it was an initiative to try to fix this whole idea when kids graduate high school, they graduate the church and disappear at 18 years old. And they came out with this conclusion that if a child has at least 5 essential relationships in the church body outside of their relatives, they'll be stuck in that web of relationships and won't disappear when they turn 18. This is what he's talking about. This is Paul's web of relationships. When it got tough, he didn't fall away because he had the web. And so you folks in this church form that web for the teens and the middle schoolers and the elementary. So take the opportunity to turn away from the conversation you're engaged in and focus on asking, celebrating the driver's license, as terrifying as that may be. Celebrate the not F. They got a D. Let's do a backflip flip for a D. I mean, there's a lot of ways we can participate. The children's song end here, and it's about standing still in people's lives.
You know, Joe, one of the things that you hear from people who come back, kids who come back, and you know, I still call them kids even if they're 40 years old.
It's because you're...
Oh, no, I'm old.
Yeah.
But I'm not old as some people. Anyway, they don't remember what we do a lot of times at the children's home, what Joe was saying. They remember what you do. They remember the camps. They remember party that was thrown at their church, and they got, you know, they got fried chicken and stuff. They remember those things. They said, you know, we used to do that every year at this church. And, you know, or, you know, I remember having Christmas in July at this church. Or, you know, I remember going to camp and each year and doing such and such. You know, those are the memories that they recall. And it's not that they got in trouble for this or that at the children's home. It's those memories of somebody else outside coming aboard and being part of our mission for those kids.
Did any of this, I don't know if anybody sparked up a question or not or a thought.
They're thoughtless?
I didn't say that.
I did.
In case you're curious, we're not the only children's home. There is many like us. And we all kind of, we don't, there's none like us, you know, in the tri-state area. West of Columbus and east of South Bend and, you know, down from Traverse City and up from Indy. We're unique in that footprint. But there's another one similar to us out towards Illinois and one out towards Missouri. Restoration Movement children's homes that are privately funded. Yeah, we know all of these folks because we don't want to be lone rangers ourselves. We want to learn from their experiences, and we do. We call them, we talk to them, we visit them as much as we can. And there's ones towards further into Ohio, and so on and so forth. And God's doing a mighty work amongst children, and it's not just caring for their essential needs, making sure they're safe and well-fed and educated along some curriculum. Although that happens in all the children's homes, there's a lot of faith-based Christian children's homes that are focused on allowing these platforms to present Christ. But it's more so hands and feet, like James talks about. You know, show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. And that's a lot of what we say. But it's a great fellowship for us to be part of. We're thankful for that.
I think we've ran out of time.
I think we are close to it, yeah. Appreciate it. We look forward to it. I'm going to give you a little plug, if it's all right, Dave, for April. Okay, good. So what we want to do in April is we want to have a parenting, grandparenting, four-week series. It's going to be a wonderful time. If you're an aunt or an uncle, a grandparent, a mom or dad, or know some kid under 18 years old, this four-part workshop is spot on for you. It's very application-based. It's humorous, tell a lot of funny stories, do a lot of dumb things. It's very biblically focused. We believe what we do at the Wilburn Christian Children's Home is spot on because our house parents have no other responsibilities besides to be house parents. And so we can implement what we believe to be biblical truths in parenting and grandparenting. And we believe grandparents have a bigger positional authority than most parents do, especially in high school. So we want to kind of put that. That's going to be more information will be provided to you. Bring friends, bring family members. It's going to be just a wonderful. We'll be doing it not just me. There'll be several of us participating in this. But in April for 4 weeks, we have that coming up, and we thank you for that. So, all right.
Any questions? None. Okay, we're good.
Thank you.